Good morning. It's good to see everyone. Began raining, I guess, and but that didn't keep us away. Isabel crinkled my sermon notes this morning, so hopefully, for your sakes, I can still read them okay. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 this morning, verses 1 through 11, and if you've got the New Testaments that we've been reading from, we'll be reading off of page 172 in that book, or Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And of course, one of the reasons that Paul wrote Romans was to try to bring a couple of groups together that were arguing amongst themselves. The early church was made up mainly of Jewish believers that had followed the Jewish law and so on, but when Jesus came, they began to follow him instead. And then that early evangelism was shared with non-Jewish people, and they came into the church too, and sometimes that can create tension when different people groups get together and so on. And so the church in Rome was experiencing some of that. So Paul sat down, wrote a letter to remind them about the salvation that they share in Christ. And it's important to remember that that's what he's talking about, that it's not simply the salvation that they have in Christ, but the salvation that they share in Christ. Because when we understand that the people that we're different from and the people that we have differences with, when we understand that they were saved the same way that we were, and that we share in a common salvation, that all of us are part of the one body of Christ, then we can view one another differently in a way that enables us to overcome the ways that we might previously have looked down on folks, or the ways that we might seek to exclude different kinds of people. But when we're all one in Christ, those things go away. And what's left is the unity that we share together in Christ. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this tremendous passage that we have that teaches us about salvation, about faith, about reconciliation. And we see, God, in this passage very clearly that the salvation that we now share in was not given to us because of anything that we did, or because we earned it, or because we marked ourselves out before you, but because of your great love for us, Father. We see that while we were enemies, while we were sinners, your plan went into motion for us. And that while we lived in that state of separation from you, when we didn't love you, Father, you loved us. And because of that great love that you've poured into our lives through Jesus, we now have been saved, reconciled, and we're being transformed to become more and more like your Son. We thank you, God, for that gospel, for that message that we can proclaim on a weekly basis, for that grace that you showed to us. We thank you, God, that this plan has come to us, that you've created this plan from before the foundation of the world, that you have loved your people to such an extent that it ought to change and transform us, Father. Lord, I pray this morning that you would be with us, and that you would help us to grasp the true measure of grace that you've shown to us. Help us, God, to really to really experience this morning the love that you have for us. And God, it may be that there's some of us here this morning who we know that you love us, but we don't really understand what that love means for us, Father. And I pray as we think about this passage this morning that for those who would understand themselves in that way, that your love would become very real and that they would come to know you by your love. And Father, there may be some here this morning who simply don't know you at all and might still classify themselves or understand themselves as being enemies of yours. And I pray, God, that the tremendous love that you've shown to us in Christ would be showered upon them as well, poured out into their hearts, and that they would come to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We offer this prayer in his awesome and powerful name. Amen. Deep down, the thing that each and every one of us wants is to know that we have peace with God. It's the thing that we find comfort in during those times that we struggle and find challenges and difficulties, and it's the thing that we yearn for when we feel unbalanced and unsettled. We want peace with God that we know that only God can give us, and we chase after that peace, and sometimes we realize that peace and we experience it, and we can go, even for some of us, for long periods of time, living in a state of peace with God, but then that moment comes up where a crisis hits or some kind of misunderstanding creeps in, or maybe we've had a problem develop in our lives and we no longer feel that peace with God. And we find ways of chasing after it. And maybe there's even some here this morning who might say, I know that I need to have peace with God, but I've never really experienced it. And I'm not talking about those perhaps that have never even found themselves in a state of salvation, but for many of us who would say that we have been saved, we would say that large portions of our lives, if not the whole thing, has been lived with uncertainty, with a lack of knowing that we have that peace from God in our lives, and that we can live without fear and without anxiety and without worry, because we know that God loves us, because his love, as Paul says in Romans, has been poured out into our lives, but we don't always feel that. We don't know what peace from God feels like or looks like in our lives because we live chasing that peace that can be ours, but we don't know it. And so here today, some of us might feel as though that doesn't describe you at all, and that's fine. And that's great. If you've got that peace from God in your life and it's the foundation, it's driving you forward and you live in that, that's great. Stay with it. Stay rooted in the grace that God has given to you. But for those of us who are struggling to feel that, maybe this morning some of you here are thinking about your spiritual lives, your walk with God, and you just feel tired and worn out. That you feel as though your walk with God, it's just a struggle. You try to do the right things, you want to do the right things, you know that you do the right things, but doing those things just doesn't bring you the sense of peace that you want. And you feel tired and worn out. And others might be the flip side of that, and you may not even totally realize this in your lives, but if you step back and look for a minute, you might feel prideful and smug about your walk with God because you think that you've been able to take it apart and piece it back together and do the things that God has called you to do. But that can give us a false sense of security too, because when we realize at that point that the peace with God is something that we've constructed for ourselves, when that begins to erode or is chipped away, peace with God is not left underneath that foundation. And that can lead to the feelings of being tired and worn out. And for many of us, we're just stressed out. Life is busy. Life is hard. Life is difficult. We know that God promises us peace. We want that peace, but we just don't have a whole lot of time to reflect on it. We're busy, life is stressful, and sometimes we would even say our relationship with God is stressful. And so these types of looking at our spiritual lives as we think about God and as we try to follow God and find the peace that we've been promised, those three attitudes that I described usually develop because we're following one of three different paths to God. The first one is when we try to find grace through the personal righteousness that we can offer back to God. In other words, we try to find peace with God by doing enough for him that we feel as if we've earned that peace with God. And this is why many of those who get stuck in this kind of a rut never really find that peace with God, because it's hard. It's difficult to attain, because even what it's impossible to attain, because even when we begin down that path, there will never be enough good that we can do. We can spend a whole day doing the right things, but then at the end of the day, we look back and we realize one or two times that we became angry at a person, another time that we had a bad thought about another person, another time when we told a little bit of a white lie, and we realize that for all the good that we think we've done, there's enough bad going on at the same time that it weighs down on that, and we realize that God has said, even if we read the entire book of Romans here, we would see that God says over and over again that once we allow any kind of sin in our lives, it drives that separation from God. We cannot approach him to find peace on the basis of doing enough good things. When we try to focus on trying to prove ourselves to God, we fall short, because we can put enough energy into that for a while. But when our energy drops off, what else is left? And if we've been trying to find peace with God through the things that we can do, we'll find ourselves coming up short. Other times we depend on our doctrinal correctness to be made right with God. And we feel as though if we can line up enough correct beliefs, and if we can settle in with those correct beliefs and feel satisfied with that, then that's all we have to do. And that'll be okay for a while, but when we really drill down beneath that, even having the correct beliefs about everything, if we don't have a corresponding relationship with God through those beliefs, then it's a structure that's empty on the inside. And our belief leads us to think or feel as though we have peace, but it's an elusive peace, because again, it's a constructed peace. We've built it, and we say that peace is inside. But sometimes when we get into it, we realize that the peace from God isn't really there. And Paul criticized the Jews in the early section of Romans for believing this, that they could be good enough for God simply because they believed the right things about themselves and the law and so on. And Paul said, nobody's good enough. Nobody's good enough. And then at other times, for some of us, we feel as though we're on the right path. And Paul addresses this a little bit here in chapter 5, that we can feel as though we're on the right path, but then something hits our lives. Suffering creeps in. Something comes into our lives that disrupts the way that we live every day. And that suffering comes in and it slows us down. And for those who have experienced suffering in your lives, you may know what it's like to say that everything was going fine and I felt peace with God, but that suffering came in and completely derailed things. And through that suffering, I now began to have questions and doubts about things. And it slowed down the progress that you were making along that path to finding true and everlasting peace with God. And so for those of us who are struggling to feel this peace, for those of us who are struggling to find this peace in our lives, Paul writes the book of Romans, and he gives us this section in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And we can summarize the section by saying this, that God, through his love, has given us peace with him in his gospel. And we see from a reading of this passage that the peace that we want from God is nothing that we can attain by ourselves or for ourselves, but it comes to us from God. It is a gift of grace. It is a gift that God gives to us, and we simply need to accept that gift. And this is why peace is so difficult for us to find in our lives, because we want to earn it. We just seem to be hardwired to go through our lives, to go about the way that we live, to earn things for ourselves. And we want to feel, even righteously so, that we've earned that peace from God, even if we've done so because we love God. We don't want to feel as though we've just come along late to the party and God gave us a gift that we didn't really deserve. But that's what this peace from God is. It's an undeserved gift that he gives to us through and by the Spirit. And so Paul says in this section in Romans 5 here that the gospel demonstrates God's love for us, and that God's love for us that's demonstrated through the gospel gives us peace. And I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, when we truly understand the gospel, it transforms us. The gospel itself transforms us when we truly understand it. When we realize and we stop giving lip service to the idea that we know we can't save ourselves, we have to be saved by God, but when we truly understand that, it liberates us, it sets us free from trying, and it changes us to truly love God. God's love changes us so that our love for him becomes genuine and pure, and it gives us peace. And so Paul says in the gospel that God poured out his love to us. If we see that, he says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That it's God's Spirit that has been given to us, God's Spirit that resides within us that then pours out God's love into our lives. And so we see that we can feel and experience the love of God day by day. And that love that is actually flowing within us already can give us that sense of peace that we've been looking for. If we understand that, and if we open ourselves up to that, it's God's Spirit that pours that love out into our hearts. And then Paul says this, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God pours out his love to us. It's something that we can access. It's available to us. We can live in that love because God has poured out his love to us. It's a reality in our lives. But secondly, God demonstrated his love for us. And so if we ever have any questions about whether God loves us or what that love looks like, let us simply think back to the gospel where Paul tells us God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God showed us how much he loved us. We could do nothing for him. We were as far from him as we could ever be. And he sent Jesus to die for us. Unless we get confused and think that that's just some technical thing that God did so that we could find a way to him, Paul says he didn't do that because he wanted to simply create a bridge. He did that because he loved you. And he showed you how much he loved you. And then Paul says that not only has God poured out his love to us, not only has he demonstrated what that love looks like, but God's love gives us a greater hope. And so we read in that last paragraph, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? That God's love enables us to look into the future and to say that if while we were sinners, God loved us, demonstrated his love for us, and then poured his love out into our lives, now we look ahead to the future. And if God loved us that much then, how much more will his love ensure our final salvation? Because he's not going to let go of those whom he once loved. His love will fill our lives and bring us forward to the end. And Paul says again, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And yet again, if God loved us while we were his enemies, then the fact that we are now his friends guarantees our place with him. He guarantees it because he loves us so much. He demonstrated that love and he pours that love out. So we should rejoice in this when we think about the peace of God, the love of God that's been given to us, poured out even into our lives. And whereas at the beginning I asked questions about how many of us feel tired and worn out or stressed out about the way that we live or uncertain, or maybe we live by anxiety or worry or fear, God's love demonstrated before us and poured out into our lives that also guarantees our final salvation with him teaches us a better way forward. No longer do we need to be anxious or uncertain about our life before God. But we can rest with certainty and assurance that God's love has brought us into his kingdom and will keep us until the end. How many of us would rather feel fulfillment, reconciliation, and security than fear, anxiety, and worry? Through God's love, we can have all of those things. Reconciliation, assurance, fulfillment, and security. And we should feel those things, because that's the effect of the love of God poured out into our lives. He gives us his love. He demonstrates it so we know what it looks like. He demonstrates it so we know the depths of his love. And then he pours it out in our lives so that we can see it played out in our own experience. So let the love of God fill you. Let the love of God fill your life. Let it fill your heart. Let it fill your life. Let it explode out of you as you interact with others, being changed because of the love of God within you. The gospel refocuses us on God's love. Let the love of God give you identity as his child. It's God's love that has brought you into his family. And as Paul writes about in Galatians, through the Spirit that Paul says has been given to us, we have been called children of God, and we have become heirs to the inheritance. And that's not something that we have to wait and earn somehow. That's a given. That's a gift. That's what it means to be part of the family. We are now heirs to the inheritance. We are children of God. We don't become children at some later date if we do enough. We are children of God. We are heirs to that inheritance. We're marked by God's Spirit. And so we stay rooted in grace. The gospel gives us a framework for how to understand our lives, even how to understand suffering. God's love changes us. And whereas we may feel as though we have to do enough good things to outweigh the bad so that God will be pleased with us, we realize through his own demonstration of his own love for us, and through his love that's being poured out in our lives, and through his love that changes our perspective on our salvation, we can know that God's love liberates us to love him and others. And obedience to God is no longer done in some kind of mode that causes us to think about, well, if I don't do this, God might be angry, but we simply go about obeying God now because we love him. Because his love poured out into our lives has changed us. It's transformed us. It's liberated us. And then Paul calls us to live in hope. The gospel guarantees our future. God's love poured into our lives is a guarantee of greater things to come. Paul's not fooling around when he writes this, not just in Romans chapter 5, but throughout virtually all of his letters, he writes about the ideas that through God's Spirit, through the love that he gives, through his grace, through the gospel, our future is assured, and we can be certain that we will be with God because we've been transformed by him. Let his love fill you. Let his love change you. Let his love come into your life. Take out all the things that might distract you from that. Fill you up completely. And liberate you so that you can love him more and love others more. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the message, this is a gospel message. It's about salvation and it's about conversion. It's about how we come into God. We receive his Spirit, he says, and we learn from different parts of the Bible that we receive the Spirit of God when we're baptized into the name of Jesus, where our sins are forgiven and we are raised into a new life with him. That new life is the point at which God's love is poured out into your hearts. You're liberated to live for him. If you need to respond to that message, we encourage you to do so now by coming forward. Just stand and sing.